morning. If you take your Bibles, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So under the Old Testament law, the Jews were required to be devoted to God, and their devotion was to be expressed through their giving, through their praying, and through their fasting. There was a right way and a wrong way for them to fulfill these devotions. Now, one was genuine and the other was just for show. One was concerned with having a right relationship with God, a right standing before Him. The other was only concerned on giving an appearance of having a right standing with Him. Jesus now tells us he actually tells us that even good deeds can be done with wrong motives. The motive for doing good should be done out of a genuine love for others. It should be done out of a love that can feed its enemies when they're hungry, give them water when they're thirsty, and is able to do good to those that persecute them. Now, Jesus addresses these three areas here with his disciples. And before we dig into it, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that you've given us to meet here this morning. I just thank you for all that are here. I thank you for those that are listening in. And Father, I just thank you most of all that you are a God, that you are in control. There's nothing that happens in this world that happens without you allowing it. Father, when we look at our world, we just pray for a world right now. It's just so chaotic. We just pray for your will to be done in it. We just pray for courage and boldness and being able to witness to a world around us that just seems to be going downhill all the time. And just be with our nation, help us, be with our politicians, be with those that are leaders, whether they're at the federal, state, or local level, and just work in their lives and move them in the direction that you would have us to go. But most of all, Father, we just ask that you would work in our hearts individually. We know that you never promised to change the world, but you did promise that you could change us. And so, Father, as we continue to look at you into your word, just help us to understand what it really means to be a disciple, what it really means to be a follower after you, a follower of Christ. And I just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 6:1 says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." So this is kind of strange because it seems like earlier Jesus told his disciples in the previous chapter in verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now he's telling them not to do their alms before men. And the word alms can be translated compassion as exercised toward the poor, goodness toward others, your kindness shown by your deeds, and your contribution. So in one instance, he's telling us, let your light shine before men that they see your good works and glorify God. And then he's telling us, well, don't let anybody see your alms. So what is the difference between letting our light shine before men so they can see your good works and not doing our alms before men? And the answer to that is the motivation of the heart. One is done out of love for Christ and reflects his righteousness. The other is done out of love for oneself and is done to give ourselves an appearance of having our own righteousness. The doing your alms before men falls under the, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 20 says, "For I say unto you," "as Christ's disciples, believers should always be willing to help the poor and needy. As they perform these acts of generosity, they are not to turn it into a spectacle before the eyes of the world." In other words, our motivation for giving should not be with the goal of being noticed and praised by others. There are many wealthy who give, you know, a great deal of money to away to certain charities, but what they like to do is to be recognized for having done it. So look at all the millions that I've given away. Well, you have billions, so what? You know, but they want to be recognized. There's also those who are not so wealthy. They may even be poor, who are willing to help others that are poor. But as they do, they too want everyone to let them know that, you know, I'm poor, but I still gave, and, you know, I helped so-and-so out. There's many organizations, especially in the political realm, you get them all the time. Many organizations offer various ranks of recognition based on the amount of money you give. The more you give, the more you're recognized. So the motivation for giving is kind of tied into seeking glory for yourself, your own glory rather than God's. And this is exactly what Jesus is telling us not to seek. Verse 2 says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So do not sound the trump before thee is not a literal blowing of the trumpet. You know, I don't think that they stood there blowing the trumpet so everybody could see them. But the blowing of the trumpet is a reference to our need and our desire to be recognized. Jesus tells us that people who go out of their way to let others know how generous they are nothing but hypocrites. They want to give the appearance of being righteous when in reality they really aren't. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something they are not. In this case, it's a person who only wants to pretend to be righteous. I want people to think I'm righteous, even though I know here I'm not. There is no difference. This is no different than actually the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who put on a show to gain the applause of men. So Jesus says that those who have to blow their own horn, their own trumpet, before men have received a reward, because those who do things in order to be admired by others receive, you know, they get what they want. They achieve it, the applause of men. So their motivation for doing good is actually to seek the approval of men, not to seek the approval of God. Now, doing good works in order to gain the approval of men is meaningless. It may do something for your ego, and it may make you feel good about yourself in this life, but it will have no value in the next. Hell is full of good people who did good works while they were alive, and yet in hell, no one remembers them. No one really cares what they were. So we always have to remember that. You know, there are people who have done good things, but yet they're still in hell. So due to our sinful nature, even our good works can be defiled by selfishness, and that includes our motivation for giving, our motivation for doing anything. Jesus tells his disciples that their giving should be done in secret. In verse 3, it says, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So Jesus tells us our giving should be done in secret. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Merely drives home this point. Now, Jesus wants our giving to be done out of concern for others, or whatever purpose we're giving for. To be out of genuine love and concern for others' well-beings, and not motivated by the desire to be recognized by others. So when we do our alms in secret, we are told that God rewards us openly. So what is it that God gives us openly as a reward? Is it material rewards, or is it spiritual rewards? Now, those who preach the gospel of prosperity want you to think that it's a material award, that God, he's going to reward you. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. So, but God does, he doesn't say that he'll ever make us rich if we give, but he does assure us that as we do help others, he will continue to provide for us and give us the things that we need. And that is our encouragement to give. So we never hold back out of fear that we will lack anything, because God will provide for it. The other thing is really the reward here is, it seems to be spiritual. Because when we obey God, when we give according and to the way that he wants us to give, then it helps us to grow closer to him. See, our giving is an opportunity really to reflect the goodness of God to others. God is good to us, he's good to me, and we can reflect that to others by being good to them. So when we give out of love for God, everyone benefits. God benefits because he's glorified through it. We benefit because we become more like Christ. We become more like his disciples. And others benefit it because, you know what? We give with no strings attached. And that's a rarity in this world too. People will do things for people, but there's always a string attached to it. There's always that indebtedness. See, our reward is God's approval. And in a sense, his praise. It's when we stand before him one day and he goes, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So our reward is the satisfaction of knowing that, you know what, God recognizes our generosity. We don't need anybody else to recognize that, because God knows. So Jesus is not condemning giving that is done openly, and that, I want to stress that too. So he's not saying that there's something wrong with, you know, don't ever give money and let anybody know that you give it, or let anybody see that you give it, because it's the manner and motive that he's concerned about when it comes to giving. And we have two examples of this in Acts. In Acts chapter 4:34, I'll give you 1 second if you want to turn to that. It says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And Eosis, I think is how you pronounce that, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we have an example that it was openly known that Barnabas gave all the proceeds from the sale of his property to the church. Now in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things." And I won't read any further, but his wife did the same thing. She fell dead, and they carried her out. So the reason they died was not because they held a portion of the money back for themselves. They died because they wanted everyone to believe that they had given all. So, yeah, I sold this property. This is all the money that I got out of it, while they were holding some back. So they were doing this for the applause of men. That was the difference between Barnabas and them. See, Barnabas gave out of his love for those in the church. They claimed, Ananias, that they gave, really what they claimed to give it all, but they did so only in order to gain the applause of men, and that was the difference there. So both were done openly, and there wasn't anything wrong with it other than the motive. So this can also be applied, one little simple thing we can use it, This can be applied to the offering taken up every Sunday. For those who give and for those who keep track of what is given. So first, when we give, we do not have to make it a public spectacle on how much we give. I remember, and I think I told you this before, I used to have a pastor said, here's 10% of my offering, here it is, 10% of my paycheck. Putting it in, and he does that for two reasons. One, for the applause to make him, the other was to encourage you to help his retirement plan. See, God says we're not to make spectacles. No one needs to know what we give. So our giving is based on the amount that God provides for us. Some have more to give than others. So it doesn't matter what amount you give based upon what God gives to you and what you cheerfully can give back to God in your heart. So it isn't the amount. So if I can throw $1,000 in the offering plate and the person next to me can only throw a dollar in, it doesn't make a difference, because you're giving according to what God has provided for you. So the amount given should be known only to the Lord and the one giving. It's nobody's business what we give other than my business, your business, and the Lord, because it's something that's done in the heart. So those who are responsible for counting and recording also should keep this in mind, because they should keep each person's offering to themselves and never reveal it to others, because many of us write out checks so the people that count and record it would know how much the pastor gives every week. But that's the pastor's business and the Lord's business and your business, whatever you give. Now the next section deals with prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So the first thing we need to know in this passage is not saying that it's wrong to pray in public or in church, or that God doesn't answer prayers that are lifted up to him in a public setting. Jesus is focusing here on prayers that are not sincere and not directed to the Lord. Now, it can also be directed at those who have absolutely no prayer life at home, and yet when they come to church, they're more than glad to stand up and pray publicly, although they don't have a relationship. See, they do this to give others the impression that they have a right relationship with God. They pray publicly to draw the attention to themselves in order to actually give people the impression that they are spiritual. Their reward is receiving the praise of men, and that is all. Now, as far as their prayers go, God doesn't listen to them, and he leaves them unanswered. He won't reward those. Jesus tells us not to be like those hypocrites and wants us to have both a private and a public prayer life. You will never grow spiritually and you will never draw closer in your relationship with the Lord until you learn to pray in secret. You have to have a prayer life with the Lord. God tells us the private prayers that we lift up to him will be answered. God listens to us when we pray in private. And when we do pray, we are not to use vain repetition. And that's basically just saying the same thing over and over and over again. So vain repetition does not refer to asking God for an answer to prayers more than once. If there's something that's on your heart, ask God as many times as you want. He's not talking about that. Vain repetition is prayer that is not sincere. It doesn't come from the heart. It is praying for the sake of praying and not for the purpose of actually seeking an audience to God for for before God. It's receiving, it's just saying the same prayer over and over. Well, God, it's me again. Let's see, what do I have? Well, I'm going to just tell you what I told you yesterday. And that, so every day we just, it's the same thing. And so we repeat and repeat and repeat. So it lacks any personal or heartfelt interaction with the Lord. Can you imagine personally, you know, as we communicate with one another, can you imagine trying to have a conversation with someone who's constantly repeats the same thing over and over and over again? Doesn't matter what you're talking about, they just keep repeating the same thing over again. And, you know, you could probably have a better conversation with the wall than the person that you're trying to talk to. So there would be nothing personal about the conversation whatsoever. Now, the purpose of praying is to have a one-on-one personal conversation with the Lord in the same way that we would have a conversation with one another. Okay? God is there. He's listening. God, I need to talk to you. I need you to listen to what I have to say. So it's easy for us to fall into the trap in both our private and our public prayer life where our prayers become more repetitious and real. We really don't have much to say to God, but we know we need to pray, so we just, all right, okay, what can I ask for today? There's nothing heartfelt about it. So when we have a public prayer meeting, okay, many of us are more concerned with how we pray than we are what we pray. You know, sometimes it's scary to pray in public. So what am I concerned about? I'm concerned about what people might think when I pray. I'm not really concerned about talking to God in that situation. See, we think that in order to pray in public, we must sound professional. And that's what these hypocrites did. They had these great, big, long prayers. And I mean, they were impressive. But they had no meaning to them. And we think that in order to be able to actually pray out loud, we have to sound professional doing it. And we don't. See, God isn't looking for impressive oratory skills when we come to him in prayer. He's looking for a sincere, heartfelt conversation. How should we pray to the Lord? Why don't you pray the same way you would talk to somebody? Have a conversation with him. You know, he's looking for sincereness, a prayer that sounds more like a child having a conversation with his father. You can remember, if you're a parent, the little one running up to you, there was something they wanted and they were so excited and they come up to you and they ask you for it. They look to you to help provide for that. And that's what God wants. He wants that same childish attitude where we run up to him and we share what's on our mind with him and we ask him. You know, so a prayer, it's not so much a professional, but it's more like a childish prayer. Okay? It's not a prayer coming from an educated adult. We're like children to God, and we need to act like children and go before him. In a public prayer session, there seems to be this pressure placed on those who attend in two ways. There's two ways people are pressured about prayer, public prayer meetings. First, they think if they stay, they have to pray. Secondly, they think that when they do pray, they have to sound professional. So many people do not stay for prayer meetings because they don't feel comfortable praying out loud in front of others. In reality, the best public prayers are not those that sound professional, it's those that sound sincere, okay? Many who would like to stay do not because they are uncomfortable with how their prayers might sound. But we are really missing the whole point for praying together, okay? We can join in with praying with others, and we can agree with the prayers of others without having to feel obligated to pray ourselves. See, those who pray for the sake of praying because they feel pressured and obligated to pray are being nothing more than what Jesus is calling hypocrites here. Because why are they praying? Because they feel pressured to pray, or they feel obligated to pray. It's not that they really want to pray. So this is why when we hear someone pray and then we say, do you remember the word amen? What does it mean? We're in agreement, right? So we can stay for a prayer meeting. We may not be the one that lifted up the prayer to God, but we definitely are in agreement with the word spoken. Amen. Amen. So the type of praying here, there's nothing wrong with praying publicly. But see, you can stay and join in on a prayer session without feeling pressured to having pray yourself. And we can, I don't know about you, but I know in my case, you know, we can learn a lot about others and what they're personally dealing with in their own lives when we stay for prayer meetings. And it actually helps us to be able to go home and we know what to pray for somebody else. This person's struggling in this area. This person needs that. Or there's somebody in their family, what they're dealing with, you know. When we pray, we give others a picture of where our hearts are and what our needs are and what we're struggling with. And that helps others to be able to, hey, I didn't realize they were struggling that much, and I can go home and I can pray. So public prayer meeting is important, but Jesus is saying that if you're just praying to, you know, to sound professional, and if you have no prayer life at home, you have no business praying in public. Because if you're doing that in public, the only reason you're doing it is not to have a relationship with God. It's just to impress the people that are around you. So the world is always concerned and worried about how it looks in the eyes of others. Did you ever notice that? So what they do is they put on a show to make themselves look good. Everybody in the world looks good when we meet them publicly. You know, everybody has the mask, the pretending that there's no problems, no troubles, no nothing. And see, that's not the way that Christians are supposed to be. You know, the world never lets others truly know them because they're afraid that they might be humiliated or rejected by those around them. See, the believer should be more concerned with being open before God, okay, and less concerned about how it appears to others, to people. You know, this is who I am. Be honest. You know, nobody, that's the problem with the world. The world makes it look like everybody's in control. Nobody's in control, are they? See, that's the big lie, isn't it? Our neighbor wants us to think that they're in control of everything, but they're not in control of nothing. It's an act, because every one of us struggle. And see, this is something that, you know, even in our prayer life, you know, just pray. Doesn't matter whether you're a professional or not. Pray from the heart, because that's where it is. I think I heard one time some guy said he was really impressed with one guy's prayer, because this is his prayer. It was so professional. Lord, it's me again. Yep, it's me. And it was such a simple little prayer. All he was doing was just praying what was on his heart. There was nothing, you know, no big words, nothing I had to look up in the dictionary or anything. It was just a straight, heartfelt talk to God. And it sounded like the prayer of a child. But yet that was one of the most impressive prayers that you could hear. Not the big, you know, sometimes we do. We get in the habit of, me, our gracious and heavenly Father. It's repetitious. I say it all the time. Our gracious and heavenly Father. I mean it, but it's repetitious. So we learn to pray in certain ways. And it gets to be a habit that we can't get out of. And we need to learn to just pray from the heart all the time. Doesn't matter. Father. You know, there's nothing wrong with Father, but we don't have to always say, I sound professional because I say gracious heavenly Father, right? And you're just saying Father. That's a little... So, but see, there's just pray from the heart. That's all Jesus wants us to do. So what Jesus does now is he teaches us how to pray. And he teaches us the purpose of prayer. The reason for our praying is to ask God to help us to accomplish his will on this earth. That's what our prayers are about. To pray for his interests, his kingdom, and his will. Everything in our life should revolve around God's plan for the human race. Verse 9 says, after this manner, you know what, it's almost 11. I think I'll save this for next week. So next week we'll get into the how to pray. That'll help me finish that chapter up too. So what Jesus is concerned about here is not, he's not criticizing, you know, somebody, if somebody finds out that you give a certain amount. He's not criticizing if you, you know, for you praying out loud. Jesus is really concerned about the motive of our heart. So when we give, why do we give? Do we give unselfishly? It doesn't, we don't, we're not seeking glory from anybody. We're not looking for a pat on the back. And hopefully when we give, we're not giving because we feel obligated to give. We should give because we want to give. Whether we're giving in the offering on Sunday to the Lord, it's a heart issue. Whether we're helping our neighbor out, if they have a need, so we just give to them, and we do it because we love them and we're concerned about them. We don't hold strings attached. Don't expect anything back. Some people get upset because they do things for people and they didn't even get a thank you. Well, did you need to thank you? Why were you doing the giving? If you needed to thank you, then you weren't giving the money or helping out right in the first place. If you expect a thank you, because see, Jesus said that's what the hypocrites do. They help so they can get the thank you. And we need to learn not to. In the same way with prayer. When we pray out loud, let's not be afraid. Let's just pray from our heart. Let's not think that we have to sound professional doing it. Father, we just thank you for this time that we could look into your word. And Father, I know that, you know, all of us have times where, you know, we do things selfishly. And even the things sometimes that we do for people, we don't do it really to help them. We're doing it for some selfish motive within our own hearts that, we seek to somehow make ourselves feel good or whatever it is. In the same way with prayer, Father. Prayer is just having a conversation with you, and help us to realize that, Father. And I know even in my own life, sometimes I don't have that conversation with you as a child to a father in the way that I should. Sometimes my prayers are repetitious. Sometimes I think I don't know what to pray about. But, you know, we need to learn to have conversations with you, and help us, Father, to understand that whether we're helping people out, let's do it out of love for them. And if we're having a conversation, whether we're in secret or in public, that we would just, you know, talk as we would to anybody else. You are our God. You are the one that we seek. You're the only one that can provide for us. And help us to treat you like you're real and like you're our Father and like we actually want to spend time with you. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.